Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show, an hour of mind power. Well, I've been telling you, we're going to be talking about the weird, the unusual, the unbelievable, and maybe some gross stuff, too. We have as a guest, again, Tim O'Brien, and he's with Ripley's Believe It or Not. And you all know, if you listen to the show regularly, I'm a fan of Ripley's Believe It or Not. I have been ever since I've been a tiny little girl. I love it. I love it when I can, well, when I was little. I don't do this too often now, but when I could gross people out with certain facts that they didn't know are real, I just loved it. I used to love to go to school and say, do you know this? Do you know that? And they go, oh. But there's so much wonderful information. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna. Great intro. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what. It is so much fun to do the show with you because I, you know, every time I go through this, and this is what, your sixth mega book that you've put out like this? Overall, how many books has Ripley put out?
You know, we would love to know that number ourselves. We're in the 80th year of our publishing right now. And through the years, we have done our own. We have licensed many out to other people. Scholastic has had a license to put out a book a year for the last, I don't know, 10 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we put out foreign editions. So it's really difficult through the years to keep up. We know there's been more than 100 different books out. And we've got publishing records, but not sure of what titles they are from the past. And so you know how when you try to pull out archival records. But what we say is if you take every book that has ever been printed by Ripley Publishing and would stack one on top of another, you would have a pile about 300 times taller than the Empire State Building.
Amazing.
Believe it or not.
I still have in my library little paperbacks that were put out a long time ago. And, of course, the paper they used then was not acid-free or whatever it was at that time, and it was a very inexpensive type of paper. But I still love to go in and look at some of the things that Ripley discovered so long ago. But let's talk about some real unusual things. The first thing I want my audience to know is that the book is called Seeing is Believing, and that's for this year, 2009. And right at the very beginning of the book, right in the very beginning of the book, there is a photo that I'm looking at of two guys that are in mid-air playing Scrabble. Now, just to get a photograph of this, Tim, I mean, my stomach got queasy when I just started thinking about it.
I remember that day. It was also windy.
Wow. I mean, this is amazing. And it was said the celebration of the 60th anniversary of Scrabble in November 2008. And skydiving, playing Scrabble at 13,000 feet. I mean, give me a break. How do you keep all those things right on there? I mean, it looks like this is, you know, yeah, this has to be fake. This can't be real, but it is real.
Look how relaxed they are, like the girl on the right. Look at that big smile. She's got her elbow on the table. And, yeah, it is real. And it was a promotion for Scrabble. And luckily we didn't have to take that picture. You know,
no kidding.
Did, I'm sure, but yeah, and that's just the fun of. That's a great way to turn open a book and see this, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible! But not only do you have that absolutely incredible photo, and I don't see the name of the photographer. I think he deserves an Oscar just to be able to, to get what he got and to have such a clear photograph and no wiggle wobbles in it. But you've got here on the same page a photo of Lion Park, Lanseria, South Africa, and there are two gamekeepers enjoying a game of Scrabble, and they're the two lionesses. I mean, the paw of this lioness that's in front of one of these participants is as big as a dinner plate. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, that's nice. That's all sort of promotion for Scrabble. But you have so many things. Tim, how do you get all this information? You have literally thousands of points of information in here. What a great thing for a teacher to have a schoolroom. I mean,
it's
super.
We have 2,500, believe it or not, and most of them are new. For this episode, we went back and pulled out some old archival stuff that kind of goes along with some of the newer stuff. And we wonder about that every year, Donna. How in the world are we going to continue? You know, when we started putting in these big size books, you know, you referenced these small paperback books that we were printing right up through the 90s. And some of them had better paper, of course, than others, as we were talking. But we decided that we'd bring our publishing back in-house and still license it out to Scholastic and a couple others, but do most of the publishing ourselves. And we wanted to do something different. And we felt that the big thing that we could do different would be to, one, make them a big book and provide color photography as opposed to the pen and ink drawings.
Mm-hmm. It makes a big difference.
It really makes a
big, big difference. Well, I told you there's some stuff in the book that's a little gross. I won't tell you some of the gross in here. But this one, you've got a photograph of five tennis shoes, and it's called Washed Up Feet. And the police found there were a grisly discovery of 5 feet washed up in different locations in Canada between August 2007 and June 2008. Each of the sneakers had human feet still inside, which eventually enabled a coroner to identify 2 pairs belonging to 2 unidentified persons. They haven't been able to figure out the 5th one yet. And somehow or another, these feet were separated from the bodies and they washed up on shore. That's a bit grisly. Yeah.
It is. Can you imagine the person that discovered that as you were walking along the beach?
Oh. Well, maybe NCIS can figure that one out. I don't know.
Yeah,
they figure everything out.
They could tell where the shoes was from or something. But,
now, talking about some of the old information that you have, there's you've got this old photograph in here. It's called the cough shot. And in 1863, W.V. Medals of West Point, Georgia, was shot in the eye at the Battle of Vicksburg during the Civil War. Now, he survived this, which is amazing in and of itself. But what's even more amazing is that 58 years later, he coughed up the bullet. And they've got the photo of the bullet and the photo of him in here.
Isn't that awesome?
That is incredible. That means the bullet traveled through his entire body system until somehow or another it reached a positioning where he could cough it up. And that is an amazing thing in and of itself.
And we have that bullet ourselves, so that's kind of
you
cool.
You have the bullet?
We have the bullet as part of one of our collections of Civil War, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And you go into science, too, in the book. You've got what you call the ice shots. And
oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, they are incredible. And a professor of physics took these photo shots, and it's just amazing. I mean, they look like something that was designed in an artist's studio, but yet they're photographs that Kenneth Liebrich, he's from Germany, I'm sure his last name is German, it sounds like, but he's in Pasadena, and he went out, he's a professor of physics, and he went out in sub-zero temperatures to catch snowflakes from the air and take photographs just before they melted. That's incredible. Who would even think that kind of photography could be done?
You know, that's one fine fun thing with the becoming part of the Ripley thing here. You know, you look at those and they look like wow. But most people think of Ripley as like you introduced it today, weird and wacky and sometimes gross and all that. But the stuff that we can get a hold of because of the brand name Ripley is amazing. And, you know, like the next page that you're looking at are the icebergs. I never knew in all the science that I took that icebergs actually had color to them. I was taught that they were white and they reflected the color of the ocean. But these Antarctic icebergs, which we have on 2 different pages, are striated and designed. I mean, they're beautiful. They look like pieces of glass.
they do. They're absolutely gorgeous. And if anyone ever has a chance to go up on a cruise ship to Alaska, to areas, you'll see the turquoise that is in the glaciers. And it is just breathtakingly gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But there are so many different color hues. It almost looks like somebody went and took a bunch of Jell-O and Cool Whip and mixed it. It really is. It's beautiful.
That one on the left looks like one of the lifesavers, the very cool lifesavers that they have.
Yes, it does. It really is. But they are sculptures of nature that are breathtaking. But I'll tell you one photo that almost grossed me out in this book. Really grossed me out. It's a 9-year-old girl, Tiana Walton from Cheshire, England. She put 23, get this, folks, 23 garden snails on her face at once. Yes, you're hearing me correctly. This young girl put all of these slimy, I look at the photo, I'm looking at it right now. It covered her eyes, her nose, and her mouth. She said it was relaxing, but it felt a bit cold, and they're quite smelly, and you can see their big, big, long eyes.
It's a full-page photo, too. It's just not
it
a little
is.
Page.
You've got life-size snails on this girl's face. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible.
And that's just so wonderful part of Ripley. You wonder why. You know, that qualifies as a Ripley, believe it or not, if you have to look at something and read it and say, well, why?
That's the truth.
And why did they do that?
What is it that makes people do what they do? If somebody could answer that question, we'd solve all the world's problems. But that's never going to be answered. It's never, ever been answered. We can speculate, but we'll never, ever get there. And that's why Ripley's will never go out of style. Let's talk about the Devil's Swimming Pool. This absolutely amazed me. And it's been called, it's in Zambezi River in Africa. It has been called, again, the Devil's Pool. Because it's a dip in the rocks found on the very edge of Victoria Falls, and the local guides will lead tourists to this pool that's on the Zambian side of the falls where you can, and there's a photo of a woman where she's actually in this pool. It's only inches, and you've got more than one photo on this, from a 328-foot drop. Somebody has to have a death wish to want to be in that pool.
And you know, Donna, one of our new features in the books this year is, you can see the little icon down in the corner there, is that we've created a website specifically for this book. And if you see that little icon for ripleybooks.com, you can go and see more photos and video of whatever story we're talking about in the book.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So it's very interactive this year.
That's incredible. Can you imagine what a teacher or parents could do with their kids if they think, oh, I'm bored. Say, okay, we'll go visit Ripley's. Let's go take care of this. And you can gross them out, but they go, oh, I can't take this. I can't believe it. Or they go, ooh, cool. You don't even know how the kids are going to respond. Usually the more gross it is, they go, wow. But some of them you should say, this you do not do at home. Thank you very much. It's like the guy that stuck all the pins in his face. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we have a lot of our museums are actually sites for class visits, for science classes or art classes, and they come out and we have a curriculum set up for them to go through the museum and to look at different things and to answer certain questions. So in addition to the books, the museums themselves are amazing educational tools for kids.
Now, are they called auditoriums, ODD auditoriums?
Some of them are. We kind of interchangeably use museum and auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Ripley himself, his very first exhibit of the weird back in 1933 at the Chicago World's Fair, was called an auditorium. And some reason when we started building the permanent ones in the 50s, they started calling them museums. But
mm-hmm.
in the last 10 years, we've started calling them auditoriums and on their logo and on the front of the buildings a lot of times. It's much more appropriate. You know, museum is stuffy. These things are definitely not stuffy.
Oh, no. They'll keep you talking. You can never get bored. In fact, I'd say if ever you had a boring party, get out the book and share some things with guests and say, do you believe this? Nah. I'll tell you one thing. people would really have a hard time believing about the chow down that you have in this book, and I'm going to give it to you. It's called The Shepherd's Schmoozle Race. It's in Huntaway Festival in Hunterville, New Zealand. Now, guys,
you're actually going to talk about this.
I'm actually going to talk about this, guys. If you want to get into something that I guess would be called macho, this
yeah,
is what it is.
I would call it stupid.
I would agree with that, but we will just leave it as it is for those spunky New Zealand guys as part of the endurance race. This is what you've got to do, fellas. The shepherds have to bite into bulls' testicles and carry them 165 feet. You've even got photos of this. Along the course, and they also have to wolf down dry breakfast cereal and raw eggs. Man, I'm telling you, this is something that if these guys didn't have nightmares for a year, I don't know what would give it to them.
We might want to add that the testicles have been removed from the bowls.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, my goodness, this is just unreal. So, again, there's just so much fun information. Now, one of them that really, one of these items that I just thought, because it's so appropriate for today, we're all concerned about energy. People are wanting to come up with this car, that car, the other car, finally one car company that said they couldn't do anything. All of a sudden, voila, they're coming up with this car that's supposed to get 130 some odd miles to the gallon. But in Piccadilly, London, you have a itsy bitsy car, and I looked at this and I just laughed. My Scottish Terrier wouldn't fit in it, I don't think. It's called a Tiny Peel P50. Tell us about this fascinating little car.
Well, they're made by a company in just south of London called Brighton, and they were actually a full-time car producer in the 60s as a way to supposedly combat the sales of Volkswagens in England. But they never really got off the ground like the Volkswagen did, of course. But we have purchased many of them. We've got we have 12 on order right now.
Oh my goodness!
They make them one by one if you want them. Other than that, the company makes other things. But they hadn't made any for years and years and years. And we asked them if they could still ramp up production. So they made that first one for us. That's in London. That you see the picture. And then the second one just arrived in in June in New York City. So we have it in our New York City Museum. And they're great. They're really small. They're battery operated. They're not gas. And so you can just drive them in the house if you want to.
You have to have a good sized house. But
and they don't have
think...
reverse in them. They don't have reverse, but you don't need it because you can just get out and pick it up and move it around yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine having something like this and you don't have a reverse? You have to get up, pick it up, and put it in the direction you want to go. Beep, beep, the horn, and off you go. I mean, this is just absolutely amazing. May I ask what the cost is on that kind of a car?
They're about, I think they're costing us about $23,000,
$24,000. My goodness gracious.
I mean, you can get a big old honking Jeep for that.
You sure can. This one would hold a peanut. Nobody of size could get in that car, I'll guarantee you. But it's fun to
see. When we launched it up in our New York museum, we had a 6'1" maintenance guy in it. And so he drove it out during the press conference. And then he kind of peeled out of it himself with the lid open, and he just kind of climbed. Because the lid opens, the roof opens is how you get in. The door, there isn't a door. So you actually open the whole top of the car and climb in. And there's really a lot of leg room. I'm 6 foot, and then I got in, and it wasn't much, much more tighter than the car I drive. So, you know, there's a lot, the way they have built it, but we figured out that if New York would outlaw all cars except this one,
mm-hmm.
it could increase parking by 300%.
Fat chance.
Really?
I don't think that's going to go. Really don't think so. The idea of getting out through the top and no, not the way I shop. That car would not work for me. It would not work for me. Now, one of the things that I think is so special about this book, this particular edition, is that you have a middle section in the book that opens up to four pages. Actually, it's more like 8 pages, but it's about Barnum and Bailey, the greatest show on earth. And you have these photographs, old photographs, about those unique people that would have been called freaks at one time. And yet this was an environment where it enabled them to make a good income being a part of the circus. And they had an extended family that was so very, very special. But there is Dogface. You've got a picture here of JoJo, the Dogface boy. You know, a lot of these things, when, especially when you're sharing this kind of information with kids, there was a whole different era that doesn't really exist anymore, to the best of my knowledge. Are there still those circuses that go around that have people with unique physical attributes and talents that have them where they can show them like they did at Barnum and Bailey? Or is that all gone today, Tim?
It's not politically correct to do it now, but there are some out there, and they're becoming larger in number. There's a troupe out of Austin, Texas, and they call it the 999 Eyes Freak Show. And they actually call themselves freaks. I mean, they are. They all are human anomalies. Mm-hmm. And they differentiate. There's a talker that comes up before the show and explains that these people are very proud of their talents. They're really dealing with what was dealt them, and they are making a living. They're not on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there really doing things and as tradition. And you know, there's a penguin boy whose legs are kind of welded together with skin, and then there's the tripod, the three-legged girl, and they are the greatest people. We had them at our opening of our San Antonio, Texas auditorium a year ago May, and they were just so delightful, and the people loved them. They came mm-hmm. up and talked to them afterward. So they differentiate themselves from the made freaks, the mm-hmm. people who put pins in their heads and nails up their noses and swords down their throats and tattoos all over their body. And they highly differentiate themselves. And there's several more. But you know one thing, the way that the sideshows and circuses are set up now, somebody can do it themselves. So like if I were a 700-pound fat boy, I could set up my own business and hire somebody to sit out in front and take tickets, and I could just mm-hmm. sit inside a tent and collect $1, $1.50 from people to see me. So the way it's set up now, there's a lot of independent people that are either deformed or just an illusion show of types, maybe,
mm-hmm.
That make their living out on the carnival midways.
Well, I know that when the old-fashioned circus with the sideshows started to disappear, and I know there was a circus, I think it was in the 70s, that was still going around. I don't remember the name of it, but they had a sideshow, and people really misunderstand it, because these are hardworking people, and because of their abnormalities, they are then able to make a good living, and they have, as you said, a great sense of pride in what they do. So I just think it's great that there is something that's enabling them to do this, because when the circuses disappeared, then a lot of them didn't have any work, and a lot of them were in Florida during the winter months.
Yeah,
and then they did the tours during the rest of the year during the warmer temperatures. And I just think it's so important, because instead of hiding people away like was done so many centuries, allowing them to make a good living and to do it, and they're doing it of their own choice, not because anybody's forcing them to. I think that's very, very positive. Now, I thought I had heard about everything with Dennis, but I guess I haven't, because in your book, you've got this thing on creative crowns. There's a dental technician from Utah that's one of the world's best tooth artists. He's illustrated on teeth for more than 20 years. I mean, nobody's going to see these silly things. Who'd want to do this? But they do it.
They do. And those are some great, great artwork.
Yes, it's fabulous.
And they're on crowns. You know, so you can have your crown up toward the front. And as one of the people that I was talking to about this story, they say it's really fun to get a tattoo on a tooth and play Find My Tattoo.
Oh, boy. You know, there's just, again, so much information here. I really was intrigued with your mini muscle man. The guy is 2 feet 9 inches tall. He weighs all of 22 pounds, and his name is Aditya Romeo Dev. He's the smallest bodybuilder in the world.
And little Romeo.
Yeah, little Romeo. And he's really something. And he works with 3.3-pound dumbbells, and he's Indian. He's East Indian. But, wow, his trainer holds him in one hand, for heaven's sake. What a photograph.
Isn't that a great photo?
That is amazing.
And he actually puts on weightlifting presentations all around the world.
Oh, that would be fabulous. What a promotional.
Oh, I'll tell you, yeah. And if nothing else, you know, you're seeing a very small person, plus you're seeing them do something instead of just stand there, which is really, he has neat little, you know, neat little outfits he wears. It's really cool.
Oh, I think it's awesome. You also bring out all kinds, it's not just scientific, but medical information. You bring out historical information. And in this publication, you had something that was really unusual, and that was in July 2008, there was a German couple that had black and white twins. And it's a 1 in a million kind of occurrence. There was the wife, and she's from Ghana, and her German husband. When the babies were born, one baby had white skin and blue eyes, and the other baby had dark skin and brown eyes. What a phenomena.
Isn't that quite a phenomena?
Mother Nature is an amazing creator. And you just look at this, and they're beautiful children. Just beautiful children. But Mom was surprised, I'm sure, when she said, they're both mine?
And Dad wonders.
And Dad wonders, but, you know, hey, it's just like a friend of mine that had brown hair, brown eyes. Her husband had blonde hair, blue eyes, and they had a redhead. We should figure that one out. You know, this is, and there was, you know, just, well, who knows what the genetics were with someone, you know, so far back. Anything can happen. And I had the chuckle at the guy, the beard bonanza, where his beard was 7 feet 3/4 inch in length. And I looked at that and I thought, I'd like to see him comb that out on a regular basis. Gee whiz.
Yeah. People love to grow long fingernails, long toenails, long beards, mustaches. I mean, we had a guy last year in our book that had 13-inch long ear hairs.
Oh! Oh! I'm surprised that there wasn't some woman that didn't take care of that while he was sleeping. I didn't go in and go clip, 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 clip.
Very good idea.
And then you've got a photograph for those young people that just love acrobatics, anybody who loves it. And if anybody's been at Cirque du Soleil, you just sit there with your mouth open watching all of these various wonderfully talented, trained people doing physical exercises that you only think about in your dreams, maybe, because all you can see is going to the chiropractor on a regular basis.
Click on the Send Us Your Stuff logo on that front page of that and communicate with us.
Oh, Tim, it's always so much fun having you on the air. I just love to talk about all these different things.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Well, so am I. I just have a blast with it. And it's more fun when you don't have interesting people around to bring up good subjects they would never have thought of in a million years. Tim, thanks so much, and do let me know when you come out with the next one.
We sure will, Donna. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, Tim. Don't forget, go to Ripley's.com and just check it out. Ripley's, believe it or not, just type in Ripley's and they've got all kinds of good things to come up. Lots of fun. Just amazing information. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Hip, huzzah!
My lords and ladies, come one, come all, to the 11th annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington, during the first three weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life on this Friday. Give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And just remember, I need your first name or your initial. And of course, we'd like to know where you're calling in from, what part of the country or what part of the world. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and we'll just take it from there, because you'll be able to ask a question if you are so inclined. Let's show you how it's done. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Maureen from Hamden, Connecticut.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Donna.
Is the sun shining where you are?
It sure is.
It's not here in the Pacific Northwest. It's gray.
Oh.
It's going to rain. So you got to huff and puff.
Well, rain is good.
Yeah, well, rain is
really
good.
Pardon?
Yeah, rain is good. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, dear. Let's get down to business with you. The first thing, Maureen, that I'm looking at is hard work. Boy, isn't that exciting. Didn't you love hearing that right off the bat? Hard work, planning, organization, and follow through are your keys to success. And you are rolling up your shirt sleeves. You have pretty much got an agenda ready to go. You don't have all the particulars in place, but you figure that you will be able to be more refined in your planning as you go along. And I would be inclined to agree with you. But I want to say, have some place where you can keep your objectives right there in front of you. If you have a whiteboard, if you need to buy some butcher paper, put it on a piece of paper, put it on the back of a door or on a wall. Say, these are objectives. Focus and look at the bigger picture and then come back and deal with the details. You're going to be able to meet your objectives and then some. I really am excited for you, and I'll tell you why. I think you are making some major breakthroughs as an individual. In doing what you're doing, you not only are erasing permanently certain habit patterns that you've had, but you are reinforcing the positive aspects that you have wanted to put into place for a number of years. I'm looking as far back as 6 or 7 years. So I think you're doing a good job. If you have those moments where you feel like beating yourself up, set a timer. Give yourself 5 minutes and say, okay, enough of that. That's enough, and I move on. You don't want to get into that patterning when you have your down days of looking at how things are not going the way you would like for them to. Sometimes there are hurdles, there are roadblocks that come in. Just keep your focus. You're going to make it, and you're going to do very, very well. I am so pleased that you are taking on this initiative because your life is turning around. And you may not be able to see all of the results immediately, but believe me, there are people around you that are going to notice it. It's really going to be quite impressive. What would you like to ask me today?
You just did it. It was a work issue. I'm 57. I've been working since I was 13. I've never worked with people who were dishonest, disingenuous, worked with ulterior motives. And right now I'm confronted with two, my boss and his significant other. And you just answered all the questions.
Gee, I'm so glad I answered. That's wonderful.
That's pretty amazing. You hit every single question that I would have asked. Because it doesn't matter about them. It's about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about me stepping up and having the courage to speak my truth and stand up for what I needed to say. And whether I have a job or not, you know, is not as important as I spoke up for me. So
I
if
agree.
My job is ended, I there's a better one coming for me, one that I'm better suited for and one that's better suited for me.
I agree, and congratulations. That is something a lot of people would not have the courage to do because they would be so concerned about, gee whiz, I might not have a job, I've got to take care of this, I've got to take care of that, I just can't do that. Congratulations. And that's
Thank
something
you very much.
That you should be very, very proud of. And if anybody says, well, you were stupid, let me tell you, that happened to me once many years ago. I found out about a group of people that were stealing from their company. And I went and notified the president of the company. I never heard back from the company, but in good conscience, I had to let them know that they were being robbed on a regular basis by their own employees. And someone said to me, that's stupid. Do you realize they could kill you for that? My friend watched a lot of movies. I said, let me tell you, I cannot in good conscience support this. They need to know this. Now, they have the choice of doing something about it or not doing something about it. But I have to let them know. I would not want someone doing this to me and someone not telling me that this was going on. That is not the right thing to do. So I compliment you. Congratulations. You're doing a good job.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your candor.
Oh,
you are very good at what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love
you. Have
my
a blessed
work.
Evening.
You too, dear. Take care. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me like Maureen did from Connecticut, all you have to do is give me a call at 888-815-9756. Well, for those of you in Washington, this is it. This weekend, the last weekend for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. I'm really looking forward to this weekend because I know it is just going to be packed. We are going to have utterly magnificent temperatures. And even though we've had rain all week long, the sun is going to shine on us on Saturday and Sunday. And by the way, our last free ticket is gone. So I'm sorry if anybody was waiting and saying, well, I'll give you a call tomorrow. It is gone. We don't have it anymore. And I'm so glad because I didn't want to end up with a ticket and not have the opportunity to give it to someone. But for those of you, I know we've got a caller on the line, so caller, wait just a moment. But the Renaissance Fantasy Fair, if you're wanting to come out to Buckley, Washington at Maris Farms, go to their website, WashingtonRenFair, FAIRE.com. And then what you do is get all the directions, all the information, it's all there. And then when you get there, look for my booth with the bright yellow banners with the gigantic red lions. It's directly behind the guy that has the candied nuts. Yummy things, by the way. And anyway, wonderful event. I hope you can come out. This is the last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you there. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you.
And who am I speaking with, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat from New Haven, Connecticut. That was my friend Maureen. She's just blown away by you. She said,
well,
and I didn't even tell her anything.
Right.
You're phenomenal. I've been telling her about you, and she finally got a chance to call in.
Well, that is wonderful. That's the one thing I like about what I do is demonstrating to people that you don't have to have gimmicks, you don't have to have anything but the power of the mind, and it is a discipline. That's something that I really enjoy sharing with people, and it's a discipline that you use so that it is a resource. I'm an information resource, and I've been in this work for over 40 years, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Because I know that in a way that is, I can't totally explain it 100%, but it enables me to empower people, and that's what my work is all about. That's what this show is all about.
Yes, you do that.
Well, did you have a question for me, Pat?
Yeah, I like to check in with you weekly. I actually finally broke down and went on medication for depression, and I want to check in with you on that. I really resist it. I've been trying to do things on my own for a year and a half, and I had the feeling that maybe I'd be more productive on medicine, which I really hate doing.
Well, I think what you need to do is take a very practical positioning with yourself physically and try to keep a journal, because you need to see if there are certain times of the month, because we women have our cycles that we go through. And it very definitely, regardless of age, is affected in us and results in a physiological, sometimes discomfort. And as we're going into fall, one of the things that I've noticed with many of my women clients is that as we get into shorter days, they will find that their moods are changing. Something happens. Well, full spectrum lighting is a wonderful product to be able to use, because that enables you to have the brightness and the light that you need. Nutrition is so important. Medicine, if it's something that you need once in a while, then deal with that. But also keep a journal on that. Sometimes medicines, dependent on your body chemistry, will work or they won't work. Or they'll work for a certain amount of time and then nothing after that. Physical exercise is very, very good. So you need to become an observer of your own body, and you need to be interested enough to be able to explore what options are available to you. And I bet you $10 to a donut, you don't pay that much attention to your nutritional supplementation, which is very important, to supplements, nutritional supplements.
Yeah, I do that.
But you really need to pay attention, and you need to start doing your research on this. Because as a female, and being in the part of the country that you're in, a lot of things physically can be worked with the body. Just start asking some questions, and I think you're going to be able to find out a number of answers that will be very pleasing for you.
My next step was to look into bioidentical hormones. My intuition sort of said that you may be able to
check it out.
Okay.
All right, check it out first. There are a number of good blood tests that can be done. You need to find a physician that is comfortable with alternative therapies and that you can explore. There is a wonderful publication I did in a wonderful interview on Tuesday. You may or may not have heard it, with a Dr. Rosenthal. And there is a complete guide to complementary and alternative cancer therapies. But in that book, and believe me, it's like a telephone book, it's so thick, there's a lot of good information that you might find interesting. But I would like you to find out what alternatives you could investigate and see if they work with you. But do those blood tests. Find out about the type of blood tests you should have.
Right.
All right, my dear,
great.
I'm going to have to go,
thank you
for sharing the information about the show with your friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You have a lovely
Bye-bye.
Weekend. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be going on break for just a moment, and you can call in, too, if you like, 888-815-9756. It sounds like we've got another caller. We'll be back with a caller right after these messages.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. We'll be going to our next caller. If you want to chat with me, 888-815-9756. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Yolanda from Phoenix.
Hi, Yolanda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Yolanda, the first thing I am looking at with you is a sense of disappointment, yet you have not given up on the dream. That's what I'm getting in my mind. You're wondering if you need to reframe the dream, however, and put it into a different context. I'd say experiment, see if that'll work. It's really not going to change the essence of the dream that you have. And I don't see that it would do any harm. It looks like it would be fine to me. I do think you are going to be having some repair work to do on the automobile. And I look at this, and all you can see are dollar signs going through the window. But I say to you, realize that this is just a part of life and that you will get what you need so that you'll be able to take care of this. But it's a good idea to keep the car in good shape and be prepared, even though you're in Arizona, to have it winterized, if you will, to deal with whatever you need to deal with, because you're going to be doing so much driving. That car is an investment, and it is cost-effective for you to keep it in good shape. So don't worry about the money. Just know you're going to have what you need to take care of it. Do you have a question for me?
The disappointment with the dream, is that, or modifying the dream, is that regarding a job?
I don't know that I can answer it that simply. I don't know that it is a job. It could be. It could be related to something that you would like to do relative to work. I don't have an absolute answer for you relative to that because of the way the information has been conveyed to me in my mind. It's something that you have not yet realized, but deep down you really want to see manifested. And there's nothing wrong with the desire. It merely means that if you want to reframe it into a different look, if you will, into a different positioning, you can do that. There's no harm. The dream still has its substance, its dynamics. It's not going to lose any of that.
Okay.
And you have a wonderful... Excuse me?
I do some writing.
Uh-huh.
And it is published. Do you see that coming in where there's more income that comes? Well, there isn't any income right now as it stands from that, from the writing efforts. Do you see that changing?
I'd say within 2 years it probably will. If you really enjoy writing and you would like to have it as your income, then you're going to need to look at the various sources that can use your writing. I would encourage you to contact some individuals who do have writing as a full-time career and ask for their mentoring to see what you can do to gain some momentum. And I think that there will be a niche area that you're going to discover you're very comfortable within, and in that niche area, you then are going to be able to expand on your financial potential. But I don't see it with just one venue. I'm seeing it with more than one. So you're working like an independent contractor.
Okay.
So that'll take some time, hon, but you do need some mentoring with it so that you won't, so that you can see what your options are.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. This is Donna Seabow. This weekend, I'm going to be appearing at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. If those of you in Washington, if any of his buddies are planning on coming, stop by and say hello. I would love to be able to meet you. But I also, too, want to tell you that we have a great lineup of guests. Next week, on Monday, we're going to be talking to Rafael Chodos. And the book title is rather unusual. It's Why on Earth Does God Have to Paint? This is a story about a woman that's gone through an incredible journey. She has survived the bombing of Hiroshima. She is a world-acknowledged artist, and she's quite a gal. Tuesday, get ready to dance, because we're going to be having King Arison, who is going to do the Conga Serenade. He is phenomenal as a drummer. He has played with Barbara Streisand. He's a primary drummer for Neil Diamond. This man is just amazing. So we're going to be talking with him on Tuesday, and then the Law of Manifestation, David Spangler, is going to be my guest. His book, which was published a number of years ago, still is a bestseller. This is a man that has some insights on manifesting abundance, and in this time and period, maybe you would benefit from listening to the show. Then we also have the movie on the ancient code. Brian Allen is going to be with us. This movie is amazing. It is just so much information, well done, and we're going to be discussing that on Thursday, Ancient Codes. And then one of my favorite topics always is about animals. Timothy Glass, Just This Side of Heaven. This book is a must-have if you love dogs. Wonderful. So we've got a great lineup of people next week. This is Donna Seabow. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be back here, right here, at VBSRadio.com, same time, same place. Bye for now. Have a fabulous weekend.
You have been listening to The Donna Seabow Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seabow Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.